freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Well, we're going to excuse you from the interview.
It doesn't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen in Ballard.
Now, here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
I think the Seahawks may have changed the game once again in the NFL. This might be a huge exaggeration, a giant leap, but I'll make a quick point and then I'm going to make a mock. Now, obviously, that goes in direct opposition to what has happened in New England, where Tom Brady departed, Bill Belichick stayed, and the Patriots have not been close to as good since, whereas Brady went and took a terrible head coach like Bruce Arians all the way to a Super Bowl. So there is certainly an argument to be made for quarterback over coach, especially when that quarterback is by far the greatest who ever played.
Quite an outlier.
But, you know, watching what happened with Pete, Geno, and Russ. By the way, you see Russ throwing a little love towards Geno yesterday. He won some Comeback Player of the Year award from Fox Sports. And Russ gave him a little, like, congrats, clapping seven tweet or something like that. I thought that was kind of cool. Legitimately. Like, I'm not making fun of Russ.
I thought it was cool.
I thought it was a nice thing of him to reach out and kind of show some support for Geno Smith. I thought that was a cool thing. But I don't know, maybe NFL teams are taking this a little bit more seriously, because I feel like in the past, the entirety of that process was like, well, who's the offense coordinator on the Super Bowl team? Let's hire him. Well, he's not going to be a very good coach. Well, whatever. He's the offensive coordinator for a Super Bowl team. And I think that the idea of maybe actually creating a broad search for the person who has the right characteristics, the right personality, the right talents for the job, maybe is more important than who's a pretty good schemer, because that's just something you can hire. That's not something you need to set a culture for your whole building. So I don't know whether the Seahawks are responsible or not, but I found myself thinking about it. Would you like to hear a modest proposal? You know what a modest proposal is, right, Jonathan Swift? This is a modest proposal from Greg Amsinger of MLB TV, who was on yesterday talking about the Mariners and gave what I could only describe as an outlandish idea.
Well, if you're looking at the Mariners, I like J.P. Crawford, but his bat really regressed, got off to a hot start, and he's really not a thunderous offensive player at short. Cole Wong is going to play second base for the near future for the Mariners. There is a shortstop that I don't think is going to be happy playing in the outfield in San Diego.
Wow.
And the Mariners have a surplus of young pitching, and there will be a lot of starting pitching coming off the books in San Diego. I think these two front office rock stars get together to make a mega deal where the Mariners will inevitably acquire Fernando Tatis Jr., who then will be the shortstop of the M's. Imagine Tatis and J-Rod in the same lineup.
What do you think?
Tatis, you're a good player. People were rooting for it last year when Tatis was moving.
No, Soto.
We were rooting for Soto.
Right.
Yes.
Who is now a Padre. But
I know. It's confusing. So, they got all the guys.
Too much talent.
So Fernando Tatis, just to set up who he is and kind of what the deal is. He is 24 years old this year. As a rookie at age 20, he came up for 84 games and had an OPS of 969 as a shortstop. Who, by the way, stole 16 in 2020. He had an OPS of 937.
Yeah. Wow.
2021, he plays in 130 games. So he's had some injuries and stuff along the way. He leads the National League with 42 home runs. He's got an OPS of 975. 2022. He doesn't play.
Yeah. It's like that's
because he gets himself into an accident and then he gets caught with roids.
Yeah.
Tough look, but incredible player, assuming that he's able to come back and that those performance enhancers were not the reason that he put up those 930 plus OPSs at ages 20, 21, and 22. So, do you want Fernando Tatis? Do you believe that he will continue to be the player that he was before his bust? Are you willing to deal with some of the knucklehead stuff and injuries? And oh, by the way, are you willing to pay him through 2034 at somewhere between $11 and $36 million a year? Final question, because I'll tell you what. My answer to those questions are, yes, I would want him. Yes, I think he will still be a great player. Yes, I'm willing to deal with the knucklehead stuff because I think he'll mature. And if you put him in the right situation, it could help. And yes, I'm willing to pay him that money because I think it'll be worth it. And you're only paying him till 35, not until 42, like right. Trey Turner and some of these
he's
other
not 29
yahoos.
29 getting a 10-year deal.
So all of those things would be yes to me. The real question is, even if he is unhappy, even if he wants to leave, even if he asks out of San Diego, the price to acquire him is going to be absurd because the Padres are not like the Nationals last year. And by the way, they paid an enormous price to get Juan Soto. But the Nationals were not a good team. They only wanted prospects for the most part back for Soto. If the Padres are going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr., in all likelihood, they're going to want major league players right now, not guys from your minor league system. Yeah, they'll take minor leaguers also, but they're going to need guys off your major league roster. So when you talk about trading for somebody like Fernando Tatis, remember, you're talking about trading probably at least George Kirby, and maybe him and Logan Gilbert. I mean, like, that's gross. The type of conversation you've got to have. You're thinking about, okay, you want a deal for him. It's going to be J.P. Crawford. It's going to be George Kirby, Matt Brash, and somebody else, at least. And I still don't know if that gets it done. Right? I mean, that's
prospects.
Yeah. That's the kind of deal that you would be probably making. Plus, if you're the Padres, you're like, hey, I got to get you guys back for Munoz and Brash and everything else. Why'd you throw Munoz in that deal just to kind of make this thing appropriate? So I don't know whether it's a possibility. As I said, it's sort of a modest proposal, which makes it ridiculous on its surface. But I kind of like what he's thinking. Amsinger's not a hot take guy. He's thrown out there as like a, hey, wouldn't this be cool? Not a this is about to happen type of a thing. But what he says at the end, the idea of a lineup that has Julio and Tatis for the next 10 years together. I mean, how could you not dream about something like that, right? How cool would that be?
I think I'd feel a lot more excited about it if had we not already gotten or traded away some of the next wave of pitching prospects to replace a Kirby and a Gilbert.
Right. No, I get it. I mean, like, you would then need to go through free agency. You'd have to completely rebuild your team. And so, I don't know whether I'd be willing to do all that either. Yeah. But, I mean, you're talking about one of the most talented players in the game. He's fun. He's entertaining. You'd probably need to figure out whether or not he's mature enough and whether or not he can grow into some of that maturity and put the right pieces around him, et cetera, because he's driven some folks crazy in San Diego. But if you can harness.
Yeah, we're getting some texts that are saying things like culture, yep, and I don't want his influence over Julio.
Feels like a Jimmy Graham trade.
Totally understand. But there's a level of talent there. There's a thoroughbred in terms of talent that you just don't find every day. He's got freak show talent. Sure. Led the league in home runs at age 22.
He's a little Jack Parkman from Major League.
Huh? Major League 2, you mean?
That, yeah.
You got to stop calling Major League 2 Major League.
I like
You're
Major
the
League
only
two.
Person in the world who believes Major League 2 is better First than all, Major League 1.
I don't know if I truly believe it's better, but I don't think it deserves
but
a amount of disrespect.
You quote it constantly as if it is Major
it's
League.
It's a great movie.
It might be, but it's not Major League. It's Major League 2. Sheesh. All right. Anyway, good stuff from Greg Amsinger. I don't think that's a real likely possibility, and I don't think I'd be willing to deal some of that, you know, major league starting pitching, but it was intriguing and, certainly worth talking about and thinking about for a few minutes. All right. Coming up, G. Scott will join us in 20 minutes. We will figure out where he was on Friday night while the rest of us were meeting Betsy, and we'll do that right after Need to Know next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
I'm a little embarrassed. I've spent most of the day telling people how much I enjoyed watching the Pro Bowl skills competition, and I'm not sure it's good for my reputation. But I did. I thought it was.
Thought those were fun.
I thought it was fun. It sort of felt like the old days when they used to do all those skills competitions.
Love the quarterback ones. Love those.
Yeah, and the quarterback one was probably the weakest of them, I thought, this time. Like, just, you know, guys throwing at those targets, not that great. But some of the silly ones were very enjoyable. I think my favorite was the guys holding as many footballs as they could while catching punted footballs. That was entertaining, especially because they were all like offensive linemen.
Yep.
And then they were talking trash to each other, and that was good. The golfing thing was good. They had to do a long drive competition, and Jordan Poyer could legitimately hit the ball. The safety for the Bills crushed the ball like 320 yards. TJ Hawkinson could definitely hit the ball. And then, like, Daron Payne and Za'Darius Smith had never golfed. Za'Darius Smith's like, eh, I learned this morning. And then he did like a Happy Gilmore shot. Like, it was ridiculous, but it was fairly entertaining. As for the Seahawks, Geno was okay, not great. 20 points in the accuracy competition. He placed third. Tariq Woolen out pretty quickly in dodgeball. Derek Carr, though, he was having some fun and being very honest about his situation in Vegas.
You've thrown touchdown passes in Vegas before. You've been on fire. Have you ever been that hot in Las Vegas?
Not that hot. That's probably why I'm going somewhere else.
Nice.
Well, he is going somewhere else. I thought he was being self-deprecating, but regardless, he is on his way out.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Yeah, it is very challenging to try to figure out exactly what Geno's market is going to be. Everybody seems to have a different opinion. We'll ask G. Scott about it at 8:30, and then Stacey Rost has a very different view on this than I do, and she's going to come in at 9 o'clock and argue a little bit. But this week, ESPN listed him as the fifth best free agent, pegged his value at 30 a year. Then Pro Football Focus yesterday went even further. They called him second best free agent on the market and thought he was going to be worth a whole lot more money than that. Look, I guess that's a compelling argument to pay the man or franchise tag him. If he's really as good as they believe, then he should be able to make the team better just by being here a second year. Max Kellerman on with Bump and Stacey yesterday said this is how you'd have to structure a deal.
This franchise tag, you got to pay all that in one season. So, like, you give a guy a three-year deal and guarantee 2 years of the money, you're spreading it out over three seasons, right? So for cap hit purposes, if it's 33, you really go up to a little under 40, and you're saving money on the cap, and that's why you do it. So it seems to me it's a no-brainer that Geno's at least 2 years guaranteed at $70 million over a three-year contract, right? Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, I think the reason, again, is can you find a way to build the rest of your team up enough while giving him that kind of cash? Here's more from Max.
Pete Carroll clearly can win with Geno Smith. Now, can you win the whole thing? Yeah, that remains to be seen, right? You do feel like you're not at an advantage if you're playing another team that's also good and well-coached, but they have a spectacular quarterback. But like Daniel Jones, although Geno has better receiving targets, it's one thing to say, well, he's just in a good system, but it's another thing to say nobody's playing it well, right? Geno Smith played well, at least what I saw. You guys are paying closer attention to Geno and the Seahawks than I am, but I thought Geno played well this year, and you can do a lot worse than Geno Smith over the next 2 or 3 years.
I mean, I love Max, but you have to make everything a comp to New York? Is that the only way we can think about anything? I guess I'm going to get the same kind of grief because I talked about Trout Nixon and Theo Epstein and the Red Sox yesterday,
All right.
At least I'm aware of the situation.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, speaking of that, Mariners done now with their big week of getting everybody excited for spring training. I kind of wish they would just start it like tomorrow. Instead, we're going to have to wait a couple weeks for pitchers and catchers to head down there. And then Justin Mora, Brock, and I all going to be there the week of February 27th. Can't wait for that. Wyman and Bob will be down a few weeks later as well. But Jerry DePoto says, yeah, there's a lot of reasons for fans to be pumped right now.
With a team that is still one of the youngest, I think the youngest in our division. We are still sub 29 years old on our average age. We're coming off consecutive 91 seasons and a playoff berth a year ago. We got three first-round draft picks and multiple things to be excited about.
Yeah, I am really excited. And one of the things that makes me most excited is Luis Castillo, who they're now going to have for an entire season, right? And I like that he's not going to pitch in the WBC. We talked about that yesterday. But even more so, here's Jerry DePoto with us yesterday explaining how that relationship with Luis evolved.
Now, through those discussions, it was, I think, Luis viewed once we invested long-term in him as a part of the Mariners, I think his the return on his part was just to invest in the next 5 years as a Seattle Mariner and, you know, and make sure that everything he was doing was geared toward taking us to the postseason and being ready to pitch there. And that's ultimately where we arrived, that he thought this was best for him, and we all thought it was best for the collective, you and the Mariners.
It's kind of an interesting idea, right? If essentially forming a partnership with a player that you are signing to a long-term deal with the understanding, hey, we're going to give you this money. What we're looking for in return is a commitment that you're going to give your all to us. And it seems like maybe that's registered with Luis in a way that is helping him prepare for this season more and better than he ever has before. So there you go. That is everything you need to know. I did throw out some DH names earlier that are still out there. You like Gary Sanchez at all?
Should I?
I mean, he can hit home runs, right? Sure. And I guess my only wonder there is, if you were to take him out of being a catcher, which is what he's been for most of his career, and only have him DH and sort of act as a third catcher if you ever want, Tom Murphy or whatever to DH for a day, could he, you know, improve if that's all he's doing and doesn't have to worry about catching? Maybe?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, maybe there's some value there and he's out there and available, cheap, easy option to try to pick up and see if there's anything there. I know Miguel Sano is working out for teams. I'd forgotten. He's a DV guy. Probably don't want to get involved there, but he is out there and working out. Yuri Gurriel, he's got his own issues. Luke Voit, Mike Moustakas has had two bad years in Cincinnati, of all places, where generally guys can hit. But, you know, he's had a lot of productive years. He's only 34. He's not 38. I mean, is there one good year left in a guy like Mike Moustakas who's been around championship teams? Maybe.
That was a guy you floated year before?
Mike Moustakas.
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, that might be how you get Luis Castillo. They might have to package in Moustakas.
Right. Well, maybe now he's just a free agent. You sign him for a small money, and maybe he ends up helping a team. So, look, I don't know what direction they go. They may feel just like Tommy La Stella kind of brings them all of that. I don't know whether I would be nearly as convinced of that. I mean, Moustakas has a little more of a track record, even though the last few years haven't been as good. But I'm just saying there are options out there. And that's another one of those reasons why I'm not panicked over what happens with Jared Kelnick in the beginning of the season. Because there are some guys out there and available that you can try to go get that can bring you some of that production early in a year if it turns out that it's not working or you need some of that help. G. Scott's going to join us here in just a moment. We got a lot to talk about for sure. I want to ask him the question that my friend texted me yesterday that I didn't really have an answer for. I'm curious what he says. We'll do it next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Oh, he's in the building giving the people what they want. G. Scott of G and Ursula.
That's what I'm talking about. What's going on
daily,
around here?
9 to noon on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo News Radio.
Can I address the three of you, Justin, Marr, Mike Salk? Can I address the three of you on the air the same way I address you off the air when I come in? Hey, it's my favorite people.
That's sort of what you say.
Is that what you say?
How are you going to address us last Friday night when we didn't see you? I mean, we had the seat saved for you and everything at the hockey game that you asked us to go to.
Oh, man.
So you understand what happened. So here, let me quickly tell the story of how this is my scenario for you,
okay.
Mr. Scenarios okay. guy. So G says, never been to a hockey game. We're like, hey, let's go to a hockey game, right? So we find a date where the Kraken are playing. And I email the boss and say, hey, can we get four tickets? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. And she can tell her why. Like, G's going to go to his first hockey game.
You don't even have to email the boss.
I do.
You can just text the boss.
I emailed the boss.
You guys are best friends.
I emailed the boss very formally, mm-hmm. right? I signed the letter sincerely, Michael Salk. And she was nice enough to hook us up with four tickets for G to go to the game.
Yeah.
And then there we are, middle of the first period. I get a text from the boss. How's G enjoying the game? She obviously hadn't heard all the conversation leading up to it about how you were going to BBD. Hey, so Mark. I'm like, and she's like, oh, funny, because she didn't get that I was being serious and just trying to avoid the question. And it wasn't until Justin started posting pictures that she's like, wait, G's not there? And now I feel like I'm scrambling. So you got me in trouble.
Hey, Mar, have you and you guys listening at home or in your car or wherever you are,
jeez.
Did you guys notice that the boss hit him up to say, hey, G, how's G enjoying it?
Right.
And hey, G's not there. And oh my goodness, I had no idea you're being serious. She didn't hit me up. She didn't say, hey, G, how are you enjoying yourself?
Right.
No, she only communicates with this guy.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Why don't you text her?
Because I'm not allowed to.
What do you mean you're not allowed to?
Did you purposely put two of G up on the video stream right now?
Yeah, there's just two of them. I gotta get it fixed.
Now there's two of me. I don't like that at all. That's way too much.
I'm not allowed. I mean, I'm not able to just text.
Oh, no.
This way.
No. You need to ask permission for something
yeah,
like
you,
that.
No, yeah, things are different now. It's professional. You got to go through your chain of command. You know what I mean? So in
you
order for me,
Brian,
I got to go to Brian. Uh-huh. And not text. Hey, Brian, am I allowed to send an email through company email and make sure? And
right.
Is it respectfully or is it thanks or is it until next time? It is like appreciate you. You don't know what to do.
It's too bad because you missed out hanging out with Betsy, who invited herself to my house for the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, that's what I found out, too.
But real quick, though, I noticed something. I'm not going to let this go. You just told the people that I hit you up and you found out that I wasn't coming when you're at the game. That's not true.
No, I knew you weren't coming at the game. No, I knew before that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to suggest
that. Yeah, yeah. You know, people would be like, oh, geez, a flake.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, you did flake, but not that day. I mean, you flaked like a week early.
Yeah.
We found out early.
Yeah, we found out.
See, the text line's going crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They give you tickets. You don't go. You're ungrateful.
No.
You know.
G let us know a few days ahead that he couldn't go to the...
A few days?
A week or so ahead when you finally realized that we were going. And so we took Betsy, Justin's girlfriend, instead. Delightful. Delightful.
Was she really there, though?
More?
I saw a picture.
Justin posted a picture
I think there was a ghost on Twitter.
Ghost sitting between us. Anyway, so she invited herself to my house for the Super Bowl.
Oh.
My question is, will you come? Will you come? I'm asking you here, invited. So for all the times that I hear from G, never been inside Mike's house. No, you know, Mike never had me over at his house. Everybody else gets to go over to Mike's house. No, Mike's never. I'm asking you right now in front of the world, all seven listeners, plus Justin and more.
Yes, dozens.
And not Betsy, but go ahead.
Will you join me, Betsy, and maybe Justin for the Super Bowl at my house next Sunday?
I'm in limbo right now.
What do you mean you're in limbo?
I'm in limbo right now.
Because? You get a better offer?
I wouldn't call it a better offer.
Bigger offer?
And by the way, I can't make all the decisions, right? Uh-huh. I do have a spouse now.
Who's invited as well?
About.
Would love to have her come as well.
No doubt about it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the invitation is open to her.
But there might be a possibility that I might be down there.
At the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow.
I mean, around it. I mean, no.
What do you mean?
I mean,
at or around? What does that mean?
Around it.
What do you mean around it?
Well, let's be real. Things that happen around the Super Bowl are 10 times better than the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
True.
Like the parties off the chain.
The events that week.
The events that week are off the chain.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So there's that part of it.
Right.
And then, so anyway. So,
but wouldn't you be back then? I mean, if that's the case, if you're just there for the pre, don't you leave Sunday morning or something? Fly back up to Seattle to watch the game?
I mean, I wouldn't rush.
Oh,
can I ask another important question? Have you requested that Monday off? Like, has that already been put in play?
I mean, that's the thing. I gotta go through Mike Salk first. I gotta ask my program director
to
ask the boss upstairs, like,
liar.
Hey, can I just take one day off?
Liar. I'm turning into Clayton all of a sudden. Nobody will let me take a day off. Get out of here. All right. Let's talk some stuff. Okay. I was asked this question yesterday about Geno Smith, and I'll throw it at you. Does Geno Smith sell tickets if somebody pays him to be at a new team? If you're the owner of the Carolina Panthers or the Washington Commander, whatever the team is that is needy for a quarterback right now, and you go spend $30, $35 million a year to bring in Geno Smith to put your team over the top, does Geno sell tickets?
Nope. He doesn't. And I don't make the rules. I think Geno is a very good quarterback. I think Geno should be the quarterback. I think Geno should get the $30 million or, you know, obviously the franchise tag this next year coming up is going to be, $32 million for? I mean, I think Geno Smith should at least get that a season. but you're not going to ask me a question. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I don't.
So him going to another team and him being like, and all of a sudden, Geno Smith is right. coming, and then ticket sales are going to go up. And season tickets going to go up.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Because he's been in the league for so long, and I think for so long there has been an opinion about Geno Smith. And I think also there's a lot of people that's like, oh, okay, one thing about the NFL is like you can do all these great things, and it's like, oh, Geno Smith was great. But can he do it again?
Right.
And there's a lot of people that don't believe that Geno Smith can
do it
again.
Is it a fair question?
Now, I think here locally, because we are fans of the team, mm-hmm. right? We believe that Geno Smith can do it again.
I do too. I believe he can do it again.
But I don't think that there is another franchise. I don't think their Raider fans are like, Geno Smith? Yes, that's who we need. I don't think they're thinking that because they're already thinking about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that there's any other team right now that's thinking, we bring in Geno Smith, ticket sales are going to go up, and everybody's going to lose their mind. We are the only ones that really love Geno Smith.
Do you think that matters to another team if they're going to bring him in? Or is it just, hey, we believe that this guy's going to put us over the top. Doesn't matter what the fans think day one. They're going to love it, you know, however many weeks later when we're in the playoffs.
I don't think another GM outside of here will take and have that mentality towards someone who's been in the league for 10-plus years.
Scott Fitter? John Schneider guy in Carolina now, right? They have a new coach. They've got almost a playoff roster and no quarterback.
There is, and I'm glad you bring that up, and this is going to sound harsh. There is no way they go into Carolina, and Carolina with the new coach, the way they ended off last season, and going in and saying, bam! Geno Smith is going to be our franchise quarterback. It reminds me of me and my situation, being married. Look.
Your situation. If you made it sound like you've got some sort of disease.
No, you're married. No. It's a situation.
Okay.
Because right now, I'm in a really good situation.
Good.
I'm really good in the market of my house. If my wife were to divorce me and let me go, there is no other situation that wants me more than the situation that I'm in right now. I am not good back on the market.
You just fit in your current situation.
I would make less in free agency outside of the situation I'm in now than I would right here. Now, see, right here, look, I mean, you guys are laughing, but this is real.
No, it is.
How you would explain it to Geno?
Yes. Fam, I wait a minute. If Geno's people are listening, I want you guys to know, I love you. Seattle loves you. But here's the truth. Nobody loves you outside of Seattle like Seattle, fam. That's the truth.
That sounds like an abusive relationship. Nobody's going to love you like I love you.
She's got a point.
But Mara.
It's probably true. I'm just glad Morris said that, not me.
Anybody else in here.
Okay.
In this instance, I think you're probably right.
Okay, let's talk about it. Mike Salk.
What?
Is that true? Is Geno Smith loved here in Seattle more than he would be loved outside?
Fan base or organizational?
Both.
Fan base, definitely there's nowhere else that he would have the kind of love that he has here right now in Seattle. I agree with you. He doesn't sell tickets. There are a lot of people that, there's some other free agents. If Lamar Jackson comes to your town, he's selling tickets, right? He's been an MVP. He's arguably the most exciting guy in the NFL to watch. If Lamar Jackson shows up here tomorrow, he's selling tickets. If Jimmy Garoppolo shows up, probably not so much. He might be selling magazine covers or some other stuff, but he's not selling tickets. I mean, like, there's a difference there.
Now go.
I'm
going to
put Geno in the category with Jimmy, not with Lamar. Organizationally, I'm not as confident that you're right about that. And part of it is because there are so many teams that are quarterback needy right now. We counted 14 teams. That's almost half the league that is looking for a quarterback in one way or another. And some of them are going to go find them in the draft. Some of them are going to, someone's probably going to trade for Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady's no longer on the market. And when you start looking at it, and I see Pro Football Focus, whether you believe in their gradings or not, they have Geno Smith as the number two free agent on the market. And when you see ESPN, they have him as the number five free agent on the market. That's first wave of free agency. That's $30+ million. That's Love. And I'm not convinced the Seahawks love him in that way right now. So I understand the argument you're making, but I'm not sure I fully agree with it.
Well,
because I think Geno's going to get paid somewhere, and I think he earned it. He had a great year, and I think it's absolutely repeatable. But I'm very, very nervous about how the Seahawks can possibly improve their team enough while spending that much more money on the quarterback position.
Well, unfortunately, I agree with you, and I say that with all sincerity.
And you say that very depressed. Yeah. Right, that hurts.
Yeah. And here's a simple reason as to why I agree with you. I don't think any of us, I don't know, I haven't heard anything, I don't know how the negotiations are going, I have absolutely no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But from the outside looking in, I would say as someone who's on Twitter a few times, when I see Geno Smith quote tweet things like when, oh, Geno Smith did this last year, mm-hmm. and then he'll quote tweet it by saying, see, look. Right. When I see Geno Smith quote tweet things and retweet things and what he did and all those things, yo, that lets me know that the negotiations ain't going really like he thought it was going to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I don't even think that there's a starting point in my heart of hearts. I don't even think that there's a starting point of $25 million a season. I could be wrong. But I'm just saying that's the feeling I get when I see
whereas
on
the open market, he might make $30 to $35 million a season.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't agree. I do think there are other teams that will try to love him just as much as the Seahawks do and maybe more.
Yeah.
Just because they're needier.
Okay. Here's where I don't think that that is happening. I don't even believe that's happening, Mike Salk. Mm-hmm. I don't believe outside on the market because if it were happening, I think Geno Smith would just be silent and not say a word.
He would know about it.
He would know about it.
Well, that's interesting.
Like, for an example, there were times, I mean, I hate to be, this is going to be a poor analogy here. Mm-hmm. There were times where I'm like, are you sure you want me to leave? Are you sure?
Because I know I got options.
Because when you talk about, when you're like, are you sure? It's usually when you actually have options.
You know, it's funny. We were talking about this. I forget who I was talking about this with. But some of these young kids now, right, who are not like, you know, people in their 20s, who have never really dated outside the dating app world.
Yeah.
It seems like many of them struggle to actually start an actual relationship because the whole time they're like, well, if this isn't perfect, I'll just go find myself another date like tonight. Just swipe a couple more times and then go out with somebody else. Oh, you want to get into a fight? All right, cool. I'll go somewhere else.
That's true.
Whereas when you and I were trying to date, especially me, like a date was not anything that you would ever expect to come around anytime. So it took a lot of work. Yeah. You had to meet somebody. You had to figure out, get their number. You had to call them a couple of times, finally go out. And so if it wasn't perfect, but it was good, you're willing to overlook some things because finding the next date might take a month and a half, not 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if there's some of that similarity there with Gino.
It could be.
Now, for you, I'm sure 10 minutes later you had another date. For me, month and a half.
Yeah, but boy, I was doing a lot of dating real broke.
21 years ago today, I had my last first date.
With Heather?
Yeah. Well, we started making out in a public bar 21 years ago tonight for the first time. We've been together 21 years ago today.
Wow.
How about that?
Wait, time out. On your first date, you guys made out?
Well, we'd known each other for a long time. We just sort of met at a bar. And there's some debate as to whether or not it was a date or not.
We've been hearing the making out story for a few times this morning, G, so we're both kind
of. They're used to this.
I've heard it so often, I didn't think about that. That's a good point.
Yeah. It wasn't really a date. It was more of a drunken meetup later in the evening. Yeah.
So let me ask this, because this really makes sense. I wish Heather was here right now.
Me too.
We've talked about this. I have told you guys off the record.
Yeah.
But it's on the record right now because you guys are listening. Mike Salk is he's a different person when he has had some adult beverages in him. Like, guys.
If you had been there Friday night, you would have experienced
like,
that.
Like, this is what I'm saying. You listening, you would actually like Mike Salk.
All right.
With the adult beverage.
That is not
so
nice.
Here's my question. When did Heather really start to like you? Was it the night at the bar?
Oh, no. My goodness.
When you...
Nope.
Because that's not the real you.
It was a couple weeks earlier. She and I had been hanging out a few times in groups, and then she invited me to a hockey game, which she says was not a date,
but she invited me, just me, to go to this hockey game with her. So I maintain that Heather asked me out on our first date. She would, if she were here, as you suggested, very strongly disagree and perhaps get angry with me for saying that.
Did you guys kiss at the end of the hockey
game? No, first kiss was the night of 21 years ago tonight, right after the Patriots beat the Rams in their first Super Bowl.
With adult beverages.
More than a few. Yes, obviously. It was going to take Heather a few if she was going to make out with me. That's for darn sure.
Wait a minute. Hey. 408 said, ha, 10 minutes later, G had another wife. Yo!
Dude, that's unnecessary.
That's unnecessary.
That's disrespectful, quite frankly. Right. How dare you, 408. Hey, G, we were talking about this earlier because Brock brought up a name. Any Ohio State kids Seahawks should be looking at in the draft this year? Like, if you're John Schneider, if John Schneider comes to you, has a, hey, G, who from Ohio State fits here in Seattle? Who should he be looking at? For those that don't know, G's kid plays at Ohio State, very intimately familiar with the program.
Yeah. Well, there's two picks with the number five picks. Mm-hmm. There's two picks. I think C.J. Stroud's going to be gone, so take him off the thing.
Okay.
There's two picks that I am torn on, okay? One is DeJuan Jones.
Okay, that's who Brock brought up the other day. Okay. Giant human.
I'll get to him in a second.
Okay.
Two is Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Mm.
Okay. Let me tell
you my language.
Let me tell you why I am torn. As far as if you put, I don't want to say, because I don't really say gun. If you put your life's in jeopardy on the line for me,
mm-hmm.
And which one of those two picks do I believe is like, yo, that's going to be the pick that we are talking about in 10 years? DeJuan Jones.
Wow.
DeJuan Jones is different, not because of his size. Yeah, you guys have heard he's 6'8". He's different because of his mentality, and he's different because of his athleticism. Mm. This dude is a flat-out athlete. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about in the Ohio practice facility, playing basketball, he was a basketball player back in Indianapolis when he was in high school. His feet work is just incredible. He's a flat out bully. I got one for you. I'll give you guys a comp. Imagine Breno Giacomini with way more athleticism. You guys miss Breno and mentality size. And that size. You know what I'm saying? So for us Seahawks fans, you guys can relate to that.
Number five pick, or is that like in the 20 range?
I take number five pick all day long. Now, the problem is, as you know, the Seahawks have a really good right tackle in Abe Lucas. I'm not an offensive line expert, but I don't really like getting into the musical chairs or, oh, he can just move him to guard. Mm. I don't think that is as easy as people think. I don't really like that. So if it's not DeJuan Jones, then you go with my son's roommate at the beginning of their freshman years in college. You go with Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
I really like him.
You're talking about – let me give you guys –
he's always open.
Let me give you a little background on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Just because he didn't look the part when he was a junior in high school, he's kind of good. The Nike opening didn't even invite him. He didn't even make it to the opening. He was getting ready to go and see his brother on the East Coast when he, at the last
brother
minute.
Plays for the Pirates.
Yeah.
I just saw his brother's a baseball player.
Yeah, he was with the Yankees organization.
Yeah, we just noticed that his name popped up somewhere. Kanan, it's like, hey.
So he wasn't even invited to the opening.
Hmm.
Gets a last-minute call to the opening, shows up to the opening, is just kind of put on one team, and man, my man Jaxon Smith has been doing it. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a very special wide receiver. If you guys think Garrett Wilson was good with the Jets, which he was, Chris Olave good with the Saints, which he was, I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all.
Yeah, I think he's better.
Way better.
Yeah, I agree. Just watching, because I've tuned into a lot of Ohio State games over the last few years, for you entirely, because I'm not an Ohio State fan, I kind of fell in love with two of those three guys.
He's phenomenal.
I fell in love with Olave, and I fell in love with Smith-Njigba.
And here's, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is not great. Like, he's not great at anything. He's good at everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's not great. You know what I mean? Like, he's not 4-3 speed.
But I don't know if that's number five pick. To me, like, that's in the 20s or you trade back. For me, it would be hard to see the Seahawks draft either an offensive lineman or a wide receiver at number five. And that's not a shot at either of those guys.
They go trenches.
I think you probably need defense, and you need to go trenches on defense if you have that pick.
They go trenches.
Or you got to trade back or something like that. But that's helpful. Appreciate it, man. It was it's good to have you in, as always.
Wait, how was Belleville DeVoe?
Oh, yeah.
Was it worth missing your first NHL game?
How many songs did you know?
Belle Biv DeVoe went exactly like Mike Salk said it would go. Literally.
Oh, wow.
We walked in at 8:36. Concert started at 8:30.
On time.
Belle Biv DeVoe came out at 8:36. They was dancing and doing some stuff for a minute. I know my man said, hey, Ronnie, we got about an hour of this. I said, at 9:36, see ya. Good night.
Curtains.
And here's the thing. A lot of us old school players in our 40s and 50s, we was like, that's how you do a concert. Hey, me, I walked out with a few players like, hey, man, yeah, you like that concert?
Yeah,
I like
that concert.
To the point.
Were they dancing?
Oh, yeah, they was dancing.
Good.
For an hour.
They closed with Poison?
Closed with Poison.
How was that? People loved it.
People loved it. But they put a little new edition in the middle.
Okay.
But
as you suggested.
But here's the thing. They didn't sing the whole song. They only sang their part of the song.
Got it.
So no Bobby.
No Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
I went to see Tribe Called Quest, and it was kind of the same thing. It wasn't that they didn't have enough songs, but I think it is just as groups get older, like they just did kind of a medley where it was like portions of all of their songs, and it was only like an hour, and same thing. They were like, All right,
we're going to take off now. See you later. Kind of like G, who was about to take off as well. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Love you guys.
You can go listen to G and Ursula, 9 o'clock every day over on our sister station, 97.3 Cairo News Radio. All right. Stacey Ross came in here yesterday at the end of the show, and I had asked her about the Geno Smith thing, and she's like, you're wrong, and told me why. And so I figured I better have her come on and tell all of you why I'm wrong also. So she'll do it next. Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710.